KQED. It's a chilly December night, and people are huddled inside a tiny bookstore in San Francisco, filled with the smell of chocolate. Platters of fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies and bowls full of chocolate pieces. It's a celebration for the new book, Making Chocolate from Bean to Bar to S'more. This is the kind of thing that happens almost every night at Omnivore Books on Food. They specialize in rare and vintage cookbooks, as well as new books about food. I stopped by during a quieter morning to chat with owner and founder Celia Sack, who started her collection when she was a teenager.
I would go into bookstores I loved to collect, and these antiquarian bookshops would have all the old books behind the counter. They would give me a stink eye if I asked to see them. They were very suspicious. It really discouraged collecting, and I wanted to be exactly the opposite. You know, I've got all the antiquarian books are mixed in with the new, or at least reachable for people, and I'm going to trust my customer to not take the book and throw it across the room. I think they're going to be careful. And it gets them to see it, and they're amazed. Oh my God, this is from 1620, and it's, you know, and you're letting me touch it. I don't even feel comfortable touching it. And I'll say, yeah, actually the paper was stronger then.
What's the value of an actual cookbook that you can hold in your hand versus just looking up the Bon Appetit website recipe?
Well, I would say the first thing is you get to make notes in it, all sorts of notes. My wife loves to write the date that she made something, you know, the next date that she made the same thing. My favorite is she'll write, still great, like the recipe would have changed. And it's just much better to have an actual cookbook where you can hold it in your hand. It's physical. I think children's books and cookbooks are two books that really need to stay physical to enjoy. And we have enough screen time.
Yeah, and I love the splatters. Like, I can tell what I've actually cooked in a cookbook because, you know, there are little pieces of dough or tomato sauce or whatever. The page is wrinkled.
Well, and you know what? Some of the historical books are really interesting that way. Like, I got Jeremiah Towers' collection. He was one of the first chefs at Chez Panisse and really started California cuisine. So he's very important. And one of his books was The Mastering the Art of French Cooking by Julia Child. And it had splatters on all the pages he had used. And you think about him coming up and learning how to cook from that book and splattering it and then becoming this very famous chef in his own right. It's fascinating to see that confluence.
Are you a big cook yourself?
I am. I love to cook. And this job has certainly gotten me to enjoy it even more because I sort of need to bring home the books and try them out. The irony is the more you use cookbooks, the less you need to use cookbooks because you really learn how to just sort of riff and cook on your own. And one part of a recipe can give you an idea for making up your own next three recipes.
Can we take some down from the shelf?
Of course.
Some of your favorites?
Yeah. This one isn't 1600s, it's 1745. It's by M.L. Lemery, and it's translated into English. It's called A Treatise of All Sorts of Foods, both animal and vegetable, also of drinkables. And it's just basically an encyclopedia of foods, of cabbages, sugar, of cinnamon, nutmeg, and ginger. I mean, think about 1745, these were all so new. It was important for people to know what they were good for. Nutmeg, to help digestion, strengthen the brain, heart, and stomach, expel wind, help women terms, resist poison, and sweeten a noisome breath. That's the amazing thing about these food books. It tells you so much about not just the food, but about what people were thinking and needing then and wanting and learning about. So it really gives you a whole idea about culture.
I remember walking by earlier this year and you had a display in the window of books from the countries that President Trump was trying to ban under the travel ban. Tell me about that. How do you use your display window to send a message?
Well, that was a particular message. Usually I use the display window to send the message that Thanksgiving is coming or, you know, things like that. But the travel ban was so upsetting to me it's still upsetting to me, but when it first came down, my immediate reaction was to put all in the window all the books from banned countries. So I had a Syrian cookbook, I had Persian cookbooks, I had some African ones. I didn't have a particular one from Somalia, but I or Yemen. I put a note in the window saying the people from these countries are now banned from entering. Learn about them. And people were so moved by it, by that small act. You know, I took one photo of it, and it was so funny because nobody walked by all day. But online, on Twitter and on Facebook, it was being retweeted thousands and thousands of times. And I was seeing it go around the different countries because I could see the language changing. It really made me feel good because I felt like, well, I guess it's a small thing. But then a lot of people started ordering those books. And that felt really good because they really did want to learn about them. You know, the Aleppo cookbook became my bestseller that week. And, you know, cooking is something that brings everyone together around the world. And so I just feel like it's really important to be soft and kind, especially at this juncture. And this is a way of doing it.
So, what's your favorite thing to cook for the holidays?
Oh God. You know what? I love a pozole. I really, really love cooking Mexican food, and there's so many great new Mexican cookbooks actually this year. Nopalito has one from our local by Gonzalo Guzman, and then there are two others. There's El Mexicano and Guerrilla Tacos, and all three are by Mexican authors, which is kind of a new thing actually. It was always Rick Bayless and Diana Kennedy. So for me, I love to make a great pozole. It's such a warm, homey meal, and then you get to get all these toppings that everybody gets to put on themselves: cilantro, radishes, avocado, queso duro. So that's fabulous.
Celia Sack is the owner of Omnivore Books on Food in San Francisco. Thanks for letting us stop by.
Oh, thanks for coming.